We're walking through the scriptures chronologically, and we left off last week at a place called Kadesh Barnea, just below the land that God had promised to give the children of Israel. He had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Dead Sea, through Mount Sinai, and all those events. And now they were there, and we watched them last week send spies into the land, and the spies came back with a bad report. We can't do it. It's too hard. And the children of Israel said no thank you to God and turned their back on him. And the penalty was, God said, for every day that the spies were in the land, you're going to wander in the wilderness. And every adult male that was alive during this time that the spies were there is going to die in the desert. Well, today, we are right back at Kadesh Barnea. It's 38 years later. They've wandered for 38 years. They have done hundreds of thousands of funerals as people have died, just like God said it would happen. And now we're back at Kadesh. And I think it's one of the saddest events in the life of the greatest leader that we've known, the mighty Moses. Because it's today, the events that happened today, that Moses is not going to be allowed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. One event, one day, what could possibly have been so bad, so horrible, that God would say, that's it, you're done. Wow, that's our topic for today. But we're not only going to look at that in Moses' life, but we're going to look and see how real this is in our lives as well. We're back at Kadesh. We're right below the promised land. And this is an oasis. This is a popular place because there's so much water available there in the desert. And so they're back at Kadesh. We're in Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading there. And we're focusing on what could this horrible event be that caused Moses to miss God's best, to cause Moses to not be allowed into the promised land, to cause God to look at Moses, as we'll read in just a minute, and say, that's enough. No more. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, let me come back to that in just a second, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh, and Miriam, Moses' sister, died there and was buried there. All right, the whole congregation. It's a different congregation than was there before. Last week, that phrase, the whole congregation, was used two or three times. But this is a whole new generation of people. These were the children that were there previously, but we're 38 years beyond that. And so you would think with a new group of adults, a new group of Hebrew leaders, that things would be different. But you know what? It was the exact same problems and the exact same issues, the exact same complaints that were there 38 years ago. They constantly griped about Moses and Aaron. They didn't like what they did. They didn't like what they didn't do. They didn't like how they did it. There was always something wrong. And I want you to know, it wears on a leader to have to live in that constantly, to never be able to please everybody and usually anybody. And Moses even had gotten so discouraged, he got to the place where he was ready to quit. You ever just been ready to quit? You ever just gotten so frustrated, so fed up, maybe with your job, maybe with your marriage, maybe with whatever, that you've just gotten to the place where you say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. Well, we've all gotten there. But you've got to remember, you can't afford to quit. There's too much riding on you, especially you as a believer. Let's keep going. Let's look at Moses. Verse 2. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses. Why wasn't there water? Well, I don't know. It doesn't say. Every other time people have come to Kadesh, there's been plenty of water. But this time, for whatever reason, there was no water. And the people contended with Moses. Here it is again. It's constant. They always complain, and they spoke saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Talking about all those people in the last 38 years that had died. Why have you? Now listen, not only are we ticked, but I want you to know, we're ticked, and it's your fault, Moses. Look at verse 4. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? Verse 5, is it any different? Does it get any better? Listen to what they said. And why have you, Moses, made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. There's no water, and it's your fault. There's always been water here, but somehow or another, now it's Moses' fault that there's no water for them to drink. Verse 6, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. When you have an issue, when you have a problem, when you're facing a decision to make, or you've hit a dead end, it seems like, what's your first response? Here's the mark of a mighty leader, a mighty man of God. He didn't phone a friend. He didn't text somebody and say, what do you think I ought to do? He didn't post it on Facebook that we've got an issue, there's no water. Does anybody have any suggestions? He goes straight to the heart of God. God, let me tell you what's going on. God knew. He knew God knew. God led them there for a reason and a purpose. But he fell on his face before God. God, I know that you know what's going on. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to lead these rebellious people. Tell me what to tell them. God, I need your wisdom. I need your heart. And if more of us as believers, today's all about believers. If you're not a believer, hang on. I want to talk to you at the very end. But this is all about believers today and our walk with God. And it's so important for us, whatever we face, our first response need to be to go and get before God. God, tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Look in verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. He's so faithful. And we come to God and ask him what to do. He'll tell us. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, that rod that you had in your hand all the way back when I first called you at that bush that was burning, that mighty rod of God that you confronted Pharaoh with, that you opened up the Red Sea with, that mighty rod of God. Take that rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, and I want you to speak to that rock. Speak to the rock in front of their eyes so that everybody can see. I'm going to do something incredible. I'm going to do a miracle, and I want them to see my might and my power and my love for them. And it's going to yield its water. Whoa. Then you will bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Can those instructions be any more clear? Take your rod, speak to the rock, and I'm going to do a miracle for my glory, for the glory of God. God's doing this all the time for the people of Israel. He constantly wants them to see that it's by his hand, his power, his might, his grace that he's protecting them and leading them. It's so clear. But somehow or another, look what Moses does in verse 9. So Moses took the rod. Yeah, oh, he's following the instructions. He took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. He's following the instructions to this point perfectly. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. Perfect. It's all set up. This is the rock that he's going to speak to. This is where God's going to do that incredible, mighty miracle. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. What? Oh, listen, Moses was angry. He was mad. He's had all of their griping, all of their complaining. He's fed up to here, and now he's exploding in his anger toward them. And he referred to them as rebels. Did God tell him to do that? Did God tell him to address them like that? Did God call them rebels? No, Moses did because he was angry. Look what else he did. Cheer up, it gets worse. Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water? We, Moses and God? No, we, Moses and Aaron. God's name's never mentioned in this verse. It's not that God's going to do a miracle or God's going to provide the water or God's going to care for you. This is all about me and Aaron. I'm going to bring the water out for you, you bunch of rebels. Wow. What's happened to our mighty leader? This anger has gripped his heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, must we bring water for you out of this rock? If you're going to outline with me today, let me give you three things, and this will just kind of help you piece the story together. Then I'm going to give you a prescription at the very end, a real quick 1, 2, 3, how to deal with your anger. But here's the first point. If you're outlining this, anger is a choice that we make. We don't have to be angry. We choose to be angry. Well, you know how it is. They back you in a corner, man. You got to come out. No, you choose to be angry. Angry is a choice that we make. We'll talk about that more later. But at this point, instead of God getting the glory in this miracle, Moses exploded in anger because he chose to. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Then Moses lifted his hand. Did he speak to the rock like God told him to? No. He struck the rock. He took that rod of God. Bam, bam. It says not only did he strike it, but he struck the rock twice with his rod. But water still came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Are you telling me that this horrible thing that Moses did that disqualified him from taking the children of Israel into the promised land is because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock? Come on now, Steve, are you serious? Speaking versus hitting, is it that big of a deal? Yeah, it really was. Because when he hit that rock, he was disobeying God because God told him to speak to it. When he hit that rock, when he didn't refer that God was going to bring the water, he's bringing attention to himself by hitting the rock, even more so that he hit it twice. He was taking the glory for himself instead of God getting the glory for the miracle. That's a big deal. That is a huge deal. But in the middle of all this that Moses is going through with God, I want you to see one of the most beautiful pictures of the grace of God that we'll have in this passage. God still gave him water. Even though Moses disobeyed, even though Moses was eaten up with self and pride and his anger was controlling, the grace of God said, I'm going to give the people the water they need. God loves us so much that he always offers us grace. Wow. Okay, we're outlining this. Here's the second part of the outline. It'll just kind of help you piece it all together. Here it is. We're expected to honor, to bring honor and glory to God. See, God didn't want Moses to get the glory. God didn't want Moses to get the attention. God didn't want Moses to think he was bringing water out of the rock. That's what God was there for. And God says, you know what? I'm expecting that of you, Moses, and I'm very disappointed. And I want you to know, in the 3,000 years since then plus, God expects the exact same thing from each one of us as His believers, as His children. Every part of our life, our actions, our speech, our relationships, every part of our life, we are to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to us. It's not about us. But anger is all about us. That's what we're going to talk about today. All right? Well, look at verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me, to bring me honor, to bring me glory, to lift me up, so that the people there who were waiting on this miracle looked and thanked me instead of looking to you and thanking you. When you got all the glory in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've already given them. They hadn't even stepped foot in it yet, but he's already, here it is again. He's restating, I've already given them this land. They're serving a 40-year sentence to walk through the desert. We've got to wait on every adult to pass in those 40 years. But you know what, Moses? You're not going to take them in there. This was my purpose for you. When I called you in the desert that day, do you remember, Moses, when that bush was on fire? And I called you and I said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet at that point in time. And you're going to go toe-to-toe with the mighty Pharaoh. And I want you to bring the children of Israel. I'm going to use you to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But you're not done. I want you to bring them out of Egypt, but I want you to bring them into this land that I've promised. But no more. Now, I'll get somebody else to do that, because you can't seem to obey me. You've got an issue with anger, Moses. I'm going to have to look for somebody else. And I really hate that, but that's the way it's going to be. Wow. Are you kidding me? Just over getting angry? See, that's our problem. We don't think it's that big of a deal. But God said it's a huge deal. It is a big deal. Your anger is sin. And I'm sick of it. Oh, and it's that sin, that anger, that kept Moses from experiencing God's best. Remember last week we talked about that congregation, that group, that nation of Israel, when they said no thanks to God and didn't go into the promised land, they settled for second best, and it was okay with them to miss God's best. Well, here Moses is going to miss God's best. But it's not okay with him. He's very upset. He's very torn up over it. But you know what? It doesn't change the fact that he's going to miss God's best. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, you know, when you look at this story, I think one of the first questions that I'm asked and one of the first responses that it kind of generates in people is, and I think that's too strict. I think God was over the top with that sentence. I think that is too severe. How can he disqualify Moses after everything that's gone on? As faithful as Moses has been, as great of a leader as he's been, how can over just a little bit of anger this disqualify him from ever going into the promised land? Well, you see, that's our problem, because we don't see anything wrong with anger. We think that God's making a big deal over nothing. We've lost sight over the fact that this anger is a sin. This anger was a disobedience to God. This anger was one of the same sins that put the Messiah on the cross. cross. This anger, his anger and our anger, is one of those sins that separate us from God. We're going to dig into this a little bit more, but I'm wanting you to really get a hold of this, that getting angry is a much bigger deal than you or I give it credit for. We think God should have just said, look, man, I'm disappointed in you, but you know what? I'm going to overlook this. Come on, let's go. It doesn't work that way. You see, God, when you look at the bigger picture, when you get a little bit higher and get this 50,000 foot view, God's been dealing with Moses about his anger all his life. Remember when Moses went to visit his Hebrew brothers and there was an Egyptian mistreating one of the Hebrews? Remember what Moses did? He killed him. He killed him because of what? Because of his anger. When God brought Moses face to face, toe to toe with Pharaoh, in those dealings that he had with him, the mightiest man, at any moment Pharaoh could have had Moses killed instantly. But the Bible says, when you look at the words that are used, Moses burned with rage when he confronted Pharaoh. Burned with rage. It's that anger that was inside that was never dealt with. Anger is a big deal. It was in Moses' life, and it is in your life, and it is in mine. Remember, let's go to another place. Remember, God had called, he spoke the Ten Commandments down from the top of Mount Sinai. And then he called Moses and Aaron and Joshua back up on, no, and then he called Moses and Joshua back up on Mount Sinai so that he could, with his finger on those stone tablets, he could write out those commandments for them. And then the people rebelled at the foot of the mountain. They had made that golden calf. They'd gotten Aaron to make that golden calf. And so when God sent Moses back down, Moses burned with rage and anger at what the people were doing. And he threw those tablets down and destroyed what God had written. See, this wasn't a one-time event. This is something that God has been dealing in Moses' life with over and over and over and over. It wasn't just a little thing. He couldn't just overlook it. He was tired of doing that. And he finally got to the point where he looked at Moses and said, no more, I'm done. Do you think God can get to that point with you or with me today? He sure can. Whether it's about anger or whether it's about another sin, when we make light of it, it's not a big deal and we don't do anything to deal with it, he sure can. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. I want to read you three or four verses there. Now Moses, three separate times Moses has come before God and asked God to reconsider. He's prayed three different times, God, I'm sorry, let me take them in. But I want you to hear God's final words on this subject to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23. Moses said, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, oh Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray. Look at this, verse 25. I pray, this is the third time, let me cross over. Let me see the good land beyond the Jordan River, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. Verse 26. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. Moses was speaking to the people. And he said, God was angry. He was displeased with me because I had gotten mad at you. And he would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. I don't want to hear it again. I'm done. That's it. Case closed. End of discussion. Verse 27. Now go up on top of Pisgah, which is one of the mountains there that overlooks. You can see the land, the promised land, the land of Israel from there. And lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan River. Not changing my mind, Moses. I'm really done. We've talked about your anger for the last time. Moses' anger kept him from experiencing God's best. Do you have an issue with anger? How big is that in your life or in my life? I wonder if our anger is keeping us from experiencing God's best in our lives. I wonder how close you and I are to that fine line where God's going to look at us and say, I'm done, no more. Wow. Let's talk about anger for just a minute. Most of us, most believers, never think about anger. We think of it as a part of life. I mean, getting angry is just like getting happy. I mean, it's just, that's the way God made me. God made me with emotions, and anger was one of them, along with love and other things. And you know what? Unless when I get in trouble over it now, well, then I start really thinking about it. You know, when I pop off at work or at school, and boy, my mouth gets me in trouble. Maybe I do it at home with my spouse or my children, or maybe it's in a relationship of another kind. Boy, when I get in trouble with it, then it's a big deal. But other than that, I very rarely even think about anger. I'm not even aware of getting angry. I even laugh at it. You know, we tell jokes about the times that we've gotten mad. And sometimes we even boast about getting mad, like it makes us big and bad. Let me tell you what I did. And we never give a thought to how much God hates anger in our lives. Is it that big of a deal? Ask Moses. Sure was a big deal in his life. See, there's a lot of believers. You know, we live more by our emotions than we do by the Word of God. Our emotions control us most of the time. You know, did you have a good day today? Well, I don't know. It was dependent on what kind of mood I was in. Well, I don't know. My emotions dictated a lot of the decisions and the choices I made today. See, it's my emotions being controlled, being driven, being forced. My emotions will dictate my walk with God day by day. I can be discouraged. I can be this or that. My emotions will run our lives, and we don't give a second thought about it. We're not even aware of it. But it's keeping us from God's best. Anger is a big deal to God. And it needs to become a big deal in your life and a big deal in my life as well. Well, you know, here's how we get around it, though. You know what most believers do? We play a word game with God, and we try to pretend like it, you know, that we never get angry. We use different words to describe it, right? We never say, boy, I'm just so mad today. Or boy, you know what? We say, you know what? I'm a little upset. Boy, I'm irritable today. Oh, really? That's the same thing as angry, but it just doesn't sound as bad, does it? Or you really want to express something. Boy, I got ticked. Well, I was ticked today at lunch when old so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. And we give no thought to it. We think that it's just natural. Oh, it's what? It's natural. You're exactly right. It's part of our nature. And what kind of nature do we have? We have a sin nature. So being angry is very natural for us. But God hates it. And it will cause you and it will cause me to miss God's best for our lives. That's the price Moses had to pay. I don't think we're any more special than he was. You know, a lot of people, a lot of believers, they've got this picture of anger as, you know, I'm just exploding in rage, man. I'm throwing things. I'm screaming. I'm yelling. I'm threatening. And that's their picture of anger. And because that's not how I respond or react, that's not how I communicate, even as ticked or frustrated or irritable as I am, we think that we're not affected by anger. But anger has so many different looks to it. You know what? When I give somebody the cold shoulder, when I kind of withdraw from a situation, when I get silent, you ever given anybody the silent treatment? That's as much anger as if you were throwing rocks at them. You know what? When I withdraw, when I avoid people, have you ever avoided somebody? Yeah, you know what? I'm so mad at what they did, what they said, how they treated me, my kids, whatever. You know, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to walk down the other side. I'm just not going to be around them. That's as much anger as anything else in the world. But yet you and I will deny we've got any problem with anger. And we don't pay a bit of attention to it. And in the process of it all, you and I will miss God's best for our life. It's a really big deal. And here's the thing. Here's where I think we stumble the most of all. If we can justify anger, then we feel like that God says, well, that's okay. You know, we always use the excuse, well, you know, Jesus got angry at the money changers and he turned over their tables. You know, that's it's okay to be mad. Well, there's two different words used for anger in the New Testament. And the anger that Jesus had at his temple that day is totally different than the word that we deal with on a daily basis that refers to the anger that is frustration and rage and generated out of selfish pride. And that's what you and I deal with. That's what God hates. And that's what we've got to learn to deal with, or we're going to totally miss God's best for us. But if we can justify our reactions and our responses, then it's okay. We feel like God says, oh, don't worry about it. They needed that. They needed to hear what you just said to them. We think, gosh, did you see how they treated me? Did you see what they did to me? Did you see what that teacher said about my son or my daughter? And if we can justify it, if we can excuse it away, somehow or another in our minds and our hearts, we think God says, good for you. They needed that. They had it coming. It doesn't work that way, folks. You and I have to learn how to deal with our anger, or we will most certainly never experience God's best that He's got for us. Wow. See, this anger, we were talking about the two different words translated anger. This word that's the rage, that the explosion that the New Testament uses, that comes from our pride. See, that's what we deal with. That's the anger. That's 99% of the anger that goes through your heart and your body and your mouth is that kind of anger. Because something's not what I wanted it to be, what I wanted it to be. It's not what I would have done. It was against me. It frustrated me. It made me mad. It's all about me. And when it's not what I want, what I think, what I need, how I would do it, then I'm ticked and I'm angry. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. And God says, you got to learn to deal with it. You better learn to deal with it. And if you don't think it's a big deal, ask Moses. So let's talk about it. Let me give you a quick 1, 2, 3. How do you deal with anger? It's simple, but it's not easy. Does that make sense? Because our nature is such a sin nature, we're drawn to anger. We want to react that way. And so even though this 1, 2, 3 is very simple, Our very heart and our being pulls against it. Let me give it to you. Number one, you got to admit it. Until you stop denying it, stop excusing it, stop thinking that you're not involved in anger. This doesn't affect you. You're very calm. You're very passive. You're very quiet. Now, I know other people that need to deal with this, but that's not me. Until you will own it, until you will admit it, God, yes, I disobeyed you in my heart, my mouth, with my mind, and I responded wrong. And this is a sin. Until you see anger as a sin, you'll never begin to deal with it. Again, anger is one of the sins that the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross because of my anger and because of your anger. It is a big deal. Second thing is this. You need to confess it. Just realizing it. Maybe you realize it because you got in trouble. Maybe the Spirit of God made you aware of it. However you became aware and you began to own it, the next step is to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. God, it was my thoughts. It was what I said to so-and-so. It was how I responded, how I reacted. God, that's sin. That's wrong. And I'm so sorry. God, will you forgive me? Continue to deal with my heart over this anger because I know you don't like it. I know it doesn't please you. I know it doesn't make me more like you. And God, that breaks my heart. Now, you go to God with it. 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And if somebody is aware of that anger, then you need to go to them as well. Now, somebody, you respond to something that happened maybe in a big group. You didn't lash out at anybody, but boy, you were just burning on the inside. Your thoughts were on fire, but you don't think anybody else was aware of that? Then God's the only one you go to. You don't need to go to that person that you had those angry thoughts toward. But if you've had words, if there's been a situation, if there's been that clash, then not only do you need to go to God and ask His forgiveness, but you need to go to that person, that spouse, that child, that neighbor, that person at work or school, and you need to ask their forgiveness. Be careful at this. If that person is not aware, don't go to them because then you create a bigger issue. Go to the Lord and ask forgiveness from Him. Third thing is this, guard it. Admit it, confess it, and guard it. You're aware that anger is a weakness in your life? Then guard it. Pray about it. Do you spend your time alone with God? And when you pray, it's not just saying, give me this, do this, lead, provide, protect, blah, blah, blah. God, you've got to guard my heart. And you've got to guard my thoughts. And God, I need you to guard my tongue because I'm so quick to be angry. I'm so quick to lash out. Oh, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks is what Scripture says. So it's so important every day for you to pour into your heart. That's your time alone with God. Read, read, read. Pour God's word into your heart so that when you get in a tense situation, that bitterness and anger doesn't come out, but it's the love that God put in your heart that people will see and people will hear. Anger is a big deal, and you and I need to learn how to deal with it. Or, number one, we'll miss God's best. Number two, we'll get to that point where God will tell us, like He did Moses, hey, Steve, I've had enough. I'm done. Wow. I told you I was going to speak to believers, and anger is such an important part of dealing with this, keeping this out of our walk with God and our spiritual life. People can't see Jesus in our life if our lives are characterized by angerness, by bitterness, by holding a grudge, harboring those thoughts. Let me ask you this. You know, I said I was talking to believers What is it that you need to do today as a believer to begin to deal with your anger? And will you admit it, confess it, and guard it? For those of you who are not believers, whatever reason, you've never surrendered your life to Christ. You know what? Today doesn't make any sense to you. Being angry doesn't bother you a bit because you've got nobody to live for. You've got nobody to pattern your life after. Your greatest need is not learning how to get over anger. Your greatest need is to find forgiveness from Almighty God. Your greatest need is to create that personal relationship with God, to be saved, to come to God and not only, God, I'm a sinner because I'm angry, but God, I'm a sinner. I've sinned so often, so many times, in so many ways, and that sin has separated me from you. I need your forgiveness, God. God, I need for you to save me. I want you to be my Savior, my Lord, my Messiah. God, thank you that you left heaven just for me. And you lived a perfect, sinless, holy life. You went to the cross so that you could pay the death penalty for my sins. And Father, you made salvation and forgiveness available to me. And today, right now, I want that in my life. So God, I want to receive your forgiveness. God, would you forgive me? Would you come and live inside of me? Would you make me your child so that I can love you and live for you for the rest of my life? Thank you that you rose from the dead 3 days later to prove you're exactly who you said you were. Now God, come inside of my heart. I give you my life. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, that's the greatest need that you've got today. And my challenge to you, wherever you are, just in the privacy of your heart right now, you don't have to say anything out loud. You may be around other people. But in your heart, if you would just say, God, I need you. I need you to save me. God, would you be my Savior right now? Father, we thank you, and Lord, as believers today, what a lesson this is, because we overlook our anger so often and don't think anything about it. We really don't think it matters much. God, I pray that you would let us see it for what it is. It's sin, it's disobedience, it's rebellion, and it breaks your heart. And because of it, God, we're in danger of missing your best for our lives. God, would you convict us every time we're angry? Whatever we call it. And God, would you help us to quit excusing it and justifying it and denying it. But Lord, could we own it and confess it? God, when people see us, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't see anger, but they'd see Jesus in our lives. Lord, for the ones that have never surrendered their lives to you, God, I'm asking you today, Lord, would you be their Savior as they call out to you? When they ask you to forgive them, God, would you grant that request? Would you give them forgiveness? Would you save them today? Change their lives. Let them start living for you, loving you, serving you, and make them more like Jesus every day. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.